Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hey, everybody. That was a visual trick that you'll be able to see on the YouTube version. Welcome to the voices in our heads. Congratulations on not taking your own life. I think that's actually really exciting. Oh, no, that's not the one I meant to say. Wait, stop. Stop. Don't laugh at the person for not killing themselves. There we go. Hey, you're still here. Earth is hard. Earth is hard. I'm wearing solar eclipse glasses. I can't see shit. And I actually kind of like it. Wow. Being able to not see is great. There's a lot of conspiracy theories going around on the internet. And at first, I wasn't sure if they were conspiracy theories. And I sent articles to Corinne and she was like, that's conspiracy theory. And I was like, all right, girl, thank you. About the April 8th eclipse, all these dudes have so much time on their hands. Like, they can sit and think of so many theories of why certain people do what they do. And yet they can't remember, you know, to clean the cat litter or take out the trash or do something nice for their girlfriend or their wife. I want a wife. I do want a wife. God, I wish I was gay. Okay. But anyway, April 8th is the solar eclipse, and it's going to the line of sight or the line of eclipse. I don't know. Did I look this up? No. Is happening. It's happening at 2:30 p.m. and New York City is going to be mostly covered. Like, the sun is going to be covered. And I'm very excited about that. But the article that I was or the article I came across, or some video of some dude talking about conspiracy theories, was like, guys, when the government says to look up, just know that something's going on in the down direction. And I was like, you know what? I mean, we're at the point in our society now where I'm like, shit, I can't tell if that's a psychotic idea or a really good one. Anyway, we're going to be in Times Square for the April 8th eclipse. Don't worry. I did put eclipse break at 2:30 p.m. in the Guys We Fucked recording schedule because it happens on a Monday. And hopefully nothing weird happens, but I'm very excited to see the sun completely cover, the moon completely cover the sun, and for it to be weird. I'm going to take these glasses off because I would love to not see for the entire episode, but it's just not doable. I get so horny in the spring, but I also have really bad allergies. What a conundrum. Such a cock block. I cock block myself with my allergies. Like, I don't even want to masturbate if I'm like, because no one wants to approach or have sex with somebody who's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Do you want to do it? You know, and it's just, I get so stuffed up and I'm always sniffling and then I'm sneezing and then I'm going because of the freaking allergies that I don't even want to have sex with myself. What the hell, Mother Nature? What a conundrum you're making for us. I know I'm covering this lady a lot on this podcast, but I really enjoy making excuses for myself by just saying, I have ADHD. I don't know. It's not my fault. Coaching with Brooke. I'm sure she's a great lady and she certainly means well, but some of these posts, man, this one in particular really got me. And no offense to you, Brooke. I'm not trying to throw you shade, but we are in this age where personality disorders and like neurodiversity disorders. I know ADHD is not a personality disorder, but there's so many Instagram accounts dedicated to every single like mood disorder or personality disorder or ADHD. And it just feels like we're leaning too far into that. And we're, as RJ Spina says, over-identifying. Oh, that's not good. Over-identifying? No, 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 no. Should we over-identify?
No.
No, we should not. But she said this graphic, I'm like, bitch, how do you know these cavemen were doing this? It's ADHD in primitive society. And her cat, I'll read her caption first. I love thinking back to this post when I need a confidence boost. And it's about how cavemen had ADHD and what the good parts about ADHD were. I'm like, girl, I don't know if cavemen had ADHD. I don't know, man. That's a stretch. That's more of a stretch than some crazy shit's going to happen on April 8th. No need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to your ADHD management. We've done it for you. Oh, this is just her trying to sell her program. But the graphic is a picture of a caveman with an axe, which cavemen didn't have axes. This is a This is a knight's level axe that this man coming out of a cave is holding. And I gotta be honest, Brooke, you got pick an era, you know, because you got the medieval era and the caveman era at the same time. I don't think they cross paths. I mean, I could be wrong. What do I know? I have ADHD. But these are the upsides to the primitive people for ADHD. Can focus on strategically tracking prey for hours. Okay. Discovers mouth sounds that lure prey. I don't know, man. Sensitive to senses to identify dangerous food. Everybody has that. I don't think you have ADHD if you're sensitive to senses, to smells, you know? Entertainers and caregivers for the tribe. Again, dude, this is a stretch. Enjoys weaving baskets while telling stories to kids. These are the things that gave Brooke confidence about her ADHD. And I just don't see the connection here. And then there's two more. Great nighttime guard. I don't actually think that's true. If you have ADHD, you're going to get distracted by a fucking lizard crawling around and you're going to go follow it for hours and forget. And then your whole family is going to get killed because you weren't a good nighttime guard. Oh. And then the last one is discovers new tools by fidgeting. Again, I really think that's some bullshit, but maybe it is. Hey, if you're listening, Brooke, or if you have ADHD and you really over-identify with this post, DM me because I don't get it. One app that I do use that does have accurate things is the Pattern app. So, you know, do you know the Pattern app? I talked about it years ago and I still use it. It's an astrology app that really nails who you are. Of course, it's not 100% accurate, but the most fascinating thing I think about the Pattern app is if you put in the birthday and place and time, if you have it, of another person, could be your mother, it could be your boyfriend, it could be your friend. It analyzes the relationship that you have with that person without knowing what that person is to you, which I think is interesting. Actually, I want to put my mom in there. I'm going to do that in a second. But it also tells you about yourself. Like these are your core kind of personality things. And this one says sensitive or moody. Check and check. You may naturally want to merge with and heal others. You have an unusual ability to empathize. At the same time, you're likely able to remain objective and avoid getting lost. No, not me. Because your approach is different than the norm, you have the potential to bring innovation or change to whatever cause you're trying to help. Still, at times, you may find difficulty maintaining focus. But Brooke says that's ADHD and the Pattern saying it's because I'm a Pisces. Like, which one is it? Which one is it? Or possibly the results of your care aren't what you had expected. Yeah, because if I'm fucking bending over backwards for you and you don't bend over backwards for me, guess what? I'm going to get butthurt about it. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to act like a cunt until you notice. And then when you ask when something's wrong, I'm going to go, nothing. And then if you ask the third time's when I'll tell you. But I'm sensitive and moody, the Pattern says, so it's okay. You may or may not be comfortable with what sets you apart. I am not. It's possible you feel guilty for not sacrificing or serving in a traditional way or for getting involved with unusual situations. I always get involved in unusual situations, girl. Don't you worry. In response, you may try to hide your sensitivity or overdo it and neglect your own need. In this case, unexpected or abrupt events might come get your attention. They're teaching you that you need to avoid getting absorbed in people's problems. Wait, so I want to put my mom in here and see what happens. Friend request, run a bond. Okay. To you. Oh, no. I don't want to invite her. Jesus Christ. Create custom. First name, mom. Last name, mom. Birthday, Christmas. Of course, she was born on Christmas. 1959. Okay. All right, guys, take some deep breaths as I'm putting my mom's information in so I can fucking see if this is right. And then I'll cry. Time of birth, no idea. She was adopted. Place of birth, I just know it's New Jersey. She's a Jersey girl. Oh, is Mike telling those people to shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
Sick. Pronouns? I mean, I guess she, her. Okay, save. Okay, and then me. View the bond. Uh-oh. Okay, this is very wrong. Oh, well, okay. So the first overlying quality is chill. Nope. But, so the strongest connection is amazing. We were family in a past life. That's actually very accurate. Right away, mom might have seemed familiar. Yeah, I would say yes. Like you two were close friends or family in a past life. because she's my mom pattern app. This sense of a shared history likely creates an ease and comfort between you and a deep sense of immediate trust. No. It's like mom's the kind of friend you can let down your guard with. Okay, this is very inaccurate. Trials. This is our biggest challenge. You and mom might feel intrigued by each other. There could be something exciting and compelling about your friendship. While the connection you could make you feel alive or energized, it's also possible that it unnerves one or both of you or shuts you down. Okay, here's some accuracy. Neither one of you usually attracts this dynamic in your friendship, so it could feel new or uncomfortable. If it does, there could be an impulse to stay away from each other. Ooh, very accurate pattern. Very accurate. Notables. It's a unique connection. You and mom come from different generations. Well, I mean, yeah, you know that. This is the birth year. Uplifting or unclear. Mom's friendship with you could feel different and special. Well, one of them's right. You could have a sense that you just get her. Possibly you're initiating changes that show mom new sides of her personality. Oh, maybe that's why we don't talk. Or are opening her eyes to new experiences. Okay. Wild card. At times, mom's friendship with you may be exciting or unpredictable. In a good way. Oh, in a good way. No, the good way is not good. Mom's often drawn to friends who are unconventional, different, or somehow change her perspective. She likely appreciates spontaneity. No, she does not. Oh, no, she does not, my friends. That throws off her whole day and thrives on the changes these types bring. Okay, maybe this was what my mom in my eyes bond would be if she wasn't mentally ill. Okay, I just wanted to try that for a second. The pattern app. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's not. I was just on the road. I came back from Springfield, Missouri. What a town. Sometimes I'll do the road and I'll go to a random ass town that I never would have been to otherwise, unless I was like marrying somebody from there. And I leave feeling more of a human. And this was one of those weekends, I gotta say. Springfield, Missouri is a very interesting town. I've never entered a town. I love walking. The second I get there, I'm like, all right, what's the vibe here, right? What are the shops here? What are the people like? Are there dogs? What's the deal? Are there homeless people? There always are, but like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Are they like scary or are they chill? You know, so I always like scope out the scene. And with Missouri, I noticed that Michael's phone was ringing when I was talking. And no, it's okay, I don't care. Wait, they're yelling at, did you yell at them, Michael? What did they say? Did they say they'd be quiet? Oh, okay. I'm such a bitch. I love situations like this because I'm like, let me get them. Let me fucking get them. And then by the time I'm face to face with them and I'm humanizing them, I'm like, hi, I was just wondering if maybe you could possibly not stop right? talking. Please, I'm a weak piece of shit. Sorry. If you want to be loud, it's okay, actually. I'm such a ballsy bitch until I'm face to face with you. You know, that's why I have road rage. I because I'm not humanizing you. You're a car, not a person. And I get mad at you very quickly, prematurely. And then I see your face. And if you're smiling and you're nice, oh, I feel so bad that I was just mean to you. But you have no idea what I said. Anyway, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri is a cool town. Everybody there is like, they're like quirky and weird. They're like kind of like a little off, but in a fun way, not in a mentally ill way. I mean, there's of course mental illness. And I mean, woo, ravaged with drugs. But that's every small town in America. Did you tell him to shut the fuck up, Michael? What'd they say? Yeah, I don't, I can't, I, yeah. Were you like, shh. Yeah, you're so fucking loud. Yeah. Now, if they do it again, let me handle it. Let me handle it. Get you kicked out after you just moved the room around. Looks so good. But anyway, yeah, Springfield, Missouri, everybody's just kind of like a little goofy. That's how I describe it. Goofy, which is a lovely quality in a people. But it's also, according to my Uber driver, and then I confirmed it with all the comedy audiences I had, the number 7 murder capital in the country. So what a weird combo, huh? Really goofy, like silly and but also you're likely to die. I like that combo. And I was outside my hotel room before the show I was in the back, and there's this little alleyway in the back that I guess a car could go through, but it seems like it was meant for pedestrians. And I was smoking a cigarette, and all of a sudden, this man just rolls up. I didn't even hear the Harley Davidson. Usually that's a loud motorcycle. You hear it coming. All of a sudden, he just shows up from on the other side of the column, stops right in front of me. And I was like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Takes off his helmet, has long gray hair, but it's like ratty and bald at the top. 4 teeth total. And he takes off his helmet and he goes, "You got a light?" And I was holding my lighter and I was like, yeah, here. And then I lit a cigarette. It was windy. Somehow the flame went right to the cigarette, lit it right away. Cause it's so embarrassing when someone's trying to light your cigarette or you're trying to light someone else's cigarette and it's just not working. And you're like, should I take the lighter and just do the cover? But you're like, nah, I guess I'm going to cover. I'll provide the windshield. And it takes like 20 minutes to light a cigarette. It was the smoothest cigarette lighting that's ever happened in my life. And then with his helmet in his hand and his cigarette, he just starts driving off. And I was like, did that happen? No one was there to witness it except me. But I'm like, I mean, that happened, but what was that? A lot of drugs in Springfield, Missouri, but a lot of goof troops, you know? And I really appreciated it. I loved the club, the Blue Room. If you're in Springfield, Missouri, or if you're near there, go to that comedy club. When a comedy club is good, comics will say stuff. Like they won't, and we're not very, like, because there's just a lot of comedy clubs. You're like, this is a lot of bullshit you have to deal with, which is fine. But when a club is good, you'll hear another comic go, oh, you're going to the Blue Room. That's a really good club. And you never hear that about like small town clubs. So I knew it was going to be good because I heard that before I got there. And it was. It delivered. Yakov Smirnoff, you guys know him. He's a legendary stand-up comedian. He was super, I guess the height of his career was in the 80s. He was in the LA comedy scene. He very famously babysat Pauly Shore when Pauly was a kid, and he was BFFs with Robin Williams and all those guys at the Comedy Store. I think he's 73, I'm pretty sure. Let me double check that because I don't want to yak off. Yep. Age. Is he 73? Okay, 73. 73 years old. I was so attracted to him, it made me uncomfortable. I'm like, what is my deal? Sometimes I'll be attracted. He doesn't look 73. He does not look 73. You know what he looks like? He looks like the most interesting man in the world guy from those liquor commercials or those beer commercials, Dos Equis or something. I don't know. He's so hot. And it was like, he had a hot demeanor and like a hot face. You know, he's hot. He's a good looking guy. But it made me so uncomfortable. I'm like, what? One time I was walking in New York and a guy who looked 73, like he looked old, but he had a swag to him. And I was attracted to him. And I was like, so ashamed. Not ashamed. Yeah, I was ashamed. I don't know. I was more confused. I would say confused is the right word. I have this weird thing with like older men. I don't think it's like a daddy issues thing. I mean, it might be. Maybe it is. But yeah, that was off-putting for myself to be in my own body with that. But Yakov, he's amazing. He's a great comedian. I was so honored to meet him. He's starting a podcast because he lives in Missouri. He lives an hour away from Springfield. And yeah, he has a great podcast. And I was interviewed by him and it was really fun. And then there was this guy. Oh my God. His name's Old Man Willie. He's 92 years old or he's 91 years old. He's 91 years old. I wasn't attracted to him. No offense, Willie. He looked old as hell. He had like the crepe skin on the hands, you know, it's like one paper cut could kill him kind of thing. And he walked he was so sweet, but he did time. He did 5 or like 7 minutes on the shows, and the club picks him up from the nursing home and brings him to the club, and he does 7 minutes and then they drive him home. He's old as hell. This guy was so fucking funny. He had sex jokes. He had tampon jokes. It was amazing. He started stand-up when he was in his 60s. So he's got like 24 years, they were saying, of stand-up comedy experience, which is, you think of like some of the great comedians working today, and that's, you know, they have 25, 30 years of experience under their belt. And I'm like, I was so interesting. I love when somebody like makes me go, this doesn't make sense or fit. You know, and so I was looking at him as like, oh, it's this like cute old man who's like trying comedy and something fun to do. But really, this motherfucker's got more experience than me, the double the experience. And that was really fun. So there was a lot of older men on my show this weekend that I really enjoyed.
And then David Jolly, shout out to David Jolly. He's an Austin comedian who was the official feature. He fucking crushed it. I will say I brought Kevin with me. He was great. He's the best road dog. Oh my God. Cause you never, unless you have a first class ticket, really a Delta One ticket, cause Delta is the airline that I fly. The people on the staff on the plane, they're nice to you. If you have Delta One, they are so nice to you. But anything else, they're like, get the fuck out of my way. You know what I mean? But when I bring Kevin with me on a plane, everybody is so nice to me as if I have a Delta One ticket. And that's really nice. But every time I take him to the airport, I got to record it next time. At least 27 times from entering the airport to the gate, I just heard people screaming, it's a wiener. People love wiener dogs. Kids love wiener dogs. But like adults love, everybody loves a wiener dog. It's the common denominator, guys. And if you hate a wiener dog, check yourself into a fucking hospital because you're ill. You're fucking ill, okay? we'll see what else. Oh, you know what I was thinking about the other day? You ever watch videos of, these are the three decades. Actually, there's four decades. 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Everybody from videos of that era. And I'm not talking movies. I'm talking about like an interview or there's all these 90s accounts that I follow. It's like, this is what high school was like in the 90s. Everybody from the 60s to the 90s, they talked so softly and there was like an innocence to them. Like that chunk of time, people kind of talked like this. And they were just like, I don't know. They were like innocent and like, yeah, I mean, whatever life happens, you know, like whatever. I'm just trying to like get it on this adventure and this ride called life. Like they had this really beautiful innocence to their voices. And now when we talk, there's just this like obnoxious, like I over enunciate my words. That's a specific theater kid thing. But no one's soft spoken anymore. And I'm like, where did that go? Like the men and women, it wasn't a gender thing. It was just like, just interviewing a gal about her midterms in the 90s. And she's like, yeah, I mean, well, I think I'm going to get an A because I studied really hard, but I guess we'll see when we get the results. Like just so carefree. And our innocence has died, guys. But it'll come back during the solar eclipse, according to one TikToker. Okay, I wanted to ask you both this question. Because there's this game, there's this card game called We Are Not Strangers. And I follow, they have an Instagram account. And there's this one question that they posed that I thought was interesting. What text would you send right now if there weren't any consequences?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Mike's ready to go.
Oh my God.
What you got, Mike?
Is it to only one person?
Well, you got a couple in your hip. I mean, it just says, what text would you send right now if there weren't any consequences? So I guess you could do a group text.
There's a couple women that I wouldn't send. I've thought about this.
Yeah, what you thinking?
A lot recently. there's like one or two women that I've been dying would text me first.
Oh, like, that shit.
Oh, you know, like, oh, like how you been? Something like that. So I could just send back. I would spell out the words, fuck you, letter by letter. So it'd be F,
right?
U, C, K. I've been begging. I've been hoping and praying that it happens. And it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, but. Wait. So you... I mean, you could just send it, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Because if they casually contact you, then you have absolute permission to send it.
Well, because this is like, do you feel like every now and then it is therapeutic to just let somebody know that they can fuck off?
Yes. Oh my God!
Isn't that kind of great?
Yeah. I'd almost rather, like, I masturbate every single day. Thank you, not to brag. But sometimes nice. I'm like, I would get more joy and bodily passionate sensation if I just told so-and-so to fuck off.
Yeah, I think, I went through a period where I was trying to not do that, where I was trying to kind of, like, let things roll off my shoulders and be really nice. And then,
It's not authentic, though, because if you're pissed, you got to honor that. You gotta honor that.
I think part of it was that I was just doing well. So I was like, life is whatever.
Yo, shit. And people can fuck with you when you're doing well and you're like, that's your problem. And then when you're not doing well again, they're like, you know what? Fuck you, actually.
Exactly. And that's where I feel like I'm at right now, where I just kind of like, it's not like I'm doing bad. I'm just more stressed. There's more going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it'd be awesome to tell a few people that I've been like, nicer to than I needed to be.
Yeah.
Tell them to just fuck right off.
Yeah.
And I just like, you can't do it out of the blue, but I would probably do it.
I mean, you can, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
In this scenario, I would probably just tell one specific person to fuck right off.
F-U-C. Yeah. Fuck right off. And each letter is a different text. Good. How about you, Ronnie?
Honestly, I would. Mine is either going to be a fuck you text or an I miss you text.
Oh. No, 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 no. Never.
No,
I miss
no.
You.
Let her talk.
One of the two.
You can't
to the same person
you.
Or to two different people?
To two different people.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Ronnie is learning at the altar of Coscarelli.
Oh, no. God help
her. It's either a fuck you or an I want you back.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I have ADHD. No, just kidding. Yeah, I was thinking, my opinion on my parents changes every day. So today I would say to them, because they're the only people that I would give a shit about contacting, just because I'd want them to get a message, just because I know that they're at home stewing about it. Like at least my mom, or I would predict that she would be. And today is I just wanted to let you know that I love you very much and I hope everything's going well. And just because we can't be in each other's lives doesn't mean that I don't love you. And it's important for me to tell you that. But maybe tomorrow I'd be like, you know what, bitch? Fuck you for all that childhood shit. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say. We don't have fuckboy theater this week. However, if you want to DM me a screenshot of your atrocious dating app conversation or a text conversation between you and a fuckboy, it's at Christina Hutch, K-R-Y-S-T-Y-N-A. But there is the opposite of fuckboy. I didn't know this. This is very interesting. Reportedly, this is Angelina Jolie. Her first suicide attempt was when she was only 19. In an interview with The Face, Jolie opened up about how things got so bad once that she decided to hire an actual hitman to take her life. However, the hitman became the person who made Jolie rethink her decision and give her another chance. And apparently this hitman was like, how about if we wait a month? And then in a month, you tell me if you want me to do it. And then a month went by and she was like, all right, I guess I don't want you to do it. And he was like, awesome. So, hey, hitman with a heart of gold. Hitman with a heart of gold.
There's a movie about, did you ever see that movie?
No.
Bulworth?
No.
It's great.
Who's in it?
It's Warren Beatty. He directed it, and it's him and Halle Berry.
Oh.
And he's a politician who knows that he's like he's pissed at himself for selling out.
Oh.
So he becomes.
Interesting.
So he hires a hitman to kill him. It's the same situation. But then because he knows, but he doesn't want to know when it's going to happen.
Oh,
so he like
gosh.
Hires the guy, and he's just like, do it. So at some point, like, I don't want to see it coming. So then he goes and he just like starts, because he knows he's going to die, he starts like doing the things that he like wants to do as a politician.
Oh, and then he doesn't want to die.
And then he doesn't want to
die.
Oh,
shit.
But then, so the whole movie, you're trying to figure out who is like,
who's hired to kill him?
Because there's all these scenes where he's like, he's in a crowd and he sees like a guy in a trench coat and he's like, not sure.
Whoa.
It's fucking great.
That's a great concept
for
a movie.
Bulworth's an awesome movie.
Bulworth. Okay. I'm going to watch that. Shit. Wait, let me see.
And Warren Beatty, the old, you know, Silver Fox.
Oh,
yeah.
Warren Beatty and Annette Bening. Oh,
yeah. Good couple.
Oh, I hope they made a baby. I hope they made 8 babies. I would want to date one of their babies when they're an adult man, when they're like in their 50s, right where I like them. What a power couple. That's fascinating. That's a great idea for a fucking movie. And then there is this other guy that I was like, damn, man, look at these men taking the time to make their best lives. This guy. Men are so weird, and so are women. Well, people are weird. The voices in our heads. Okay, I had it up and then I went away. Okay, here we go. Black alien shows off his girlfriend after having skin carved out of head to spell alien. Guys, there's someone for everybody. Anthony Lefredo, an extreme body modification enthusiast known as the Black Alien, has transformed himself by removing his nose, ears, 2 fingers, and tattooing his eyeballs. Okay, didn't know you could do that. Completing 65% of his journey, he had, guys, this is, you know what? You can be whatever you want to be, boys and girls, theys and thems. I fully applaud this man for just, fuck it. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Who gives a shit? People are going to think you're weird anyway. Might as well do this if you want. Completing 65% of his journey, he's become a sensation on Instagram with 1.4 million followers, recently sharing his life with a woman believed to be his girlfriend. Of course, every guy can get a girlfriend. Oh boy, it really doesn't matter, huh? The couple showcasing their modified bodies and tattoos, but her modification was a tit job. So he's like, that's a modification I like. Hey. Are enjoying a vacation in Mexico, drawing admiration and curiosity from followers about their unconventional appearance and lifestyle. And when you go, did they tag him? I didn't realize this guy had an Instagram. Where's his fucking checkout? Oh, no. The Black Alien Project. And there's underscores between everything. Oh, he's got 1.4. Dude, this guy's cool. Wow. I want to interview him. Guys, we fucked. Holy shit. Okay. Oh, so he's a tattoo artist. So he was born white. He's not, they don't call him Black Alien because he's black. He just tattooed himself. He actually looks blue, really. Like, it looks like a cobalty blue. I guess you could say it's black. Anyway, he put shit under his skin to make it look like snakes were coming out of his arms. And his nose, yeah, he cut his nose off. They had his nostrils cut off, and his head has some stuff underneath his scalp. Cause it looks like, yeah, it looks like an alien head. That's, you know what? I hate to say this. It's kind of sexy. I love a unique man, you know, I love a unique man that says, who cares what society thinks? Although he is jacked as shit. That helps. But he look, wow. The Black Alien Project, and there's underscores in between all the letters. That's fascinating. Good for you, sir. Good for you. Go after your own life. All right, so I'm going to read a couple pages, just a couple, because this is only going to be a short episode. I say that every time, but this time, I mean it. For those of you who don't know, I finish these chapter readings on my Patreon, and they are released the day that the podcast comes out. So you can listen to the podcast, listen to the first couple pages, and if you want, for $5 a month, you could sign up at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. I owe the IRS hundreds of thousands of dollars. Please support me. Okay, so this is RJ Spina's Supercharged Self-Healing, a revolutionary guide to access high-frequency states of consciousness that rejuvenate and repair. And last week, we read step one, which was accessing your true essence. And it's basically setting the ego aside. That's it. That's all it is. You don't got to kill the ego. It's just got to sit next to you. Step two, know specifically what you are going to achieve. And in RJ's case, he was paralyzed from the chest down and given 2 weeks to live. So those are pretty clear goals can come from that. My direct understanding is that the order of creation is desire. And so you have the desire, pops up. Ooh, I want, I don't know, to be an alien. Intention, all right, I intend to be an alien. Thought, I'm thinking about how I want to be an alien. Emotion, I'm so happy about the thought of being an alien. Action, and then behavior. Nothing happens, so to speak, until there is desire. This is where we begin with step two. Desire sets creation into motion. And when desire is attuned to God or source, again, God, if God freaks you out, just throw it away. It's fine. Or source of creation itself within perfection is created. Once your desire is fully formalized and agreed upon, your intention to achieve your desire can be activated. Ooh, cute. Once this intention is fixed, it becomes your will. The will is the most powerful force we have as a creator being, and it is tangibly experienced when we incarnate. Your will is then translated into thought form. Once that thought form is bathed in emotion through identification with the thought, it becomes actionable. We did this in step one, which is where he said, who am I? You say, who am I? You put your fingers to your chest. You feel the fingers in your chest. You reach out, touch your fingers, and then you say, I don't know. And then it kind of melts your ego. It's a really great trick. And you could do it instantaneously. I highly recommend it. We did this in step one. Now your larger body of energy has been fully activated by the electric current or the energetic life force you just harnessed within you. We then arrive at the actions we perform in order to make something come to fruition in physical reality. The ultimate state of self-awareness is to be constantly aware of the motivation behind your every desire, intention, thought, emotion, action, and behavior. This clarity is power itself and renders all obstacles and opponents powerless. Ooh, I love that. This is self-mastery and is the subject matter I will teach and deconstruct in upcoming books. Okay, sell those books already before you wrote them. I love that, businessman. Energetically, the first component of creation, which is desire, exists within a much higher frequency compared to the other components of creation. With each subsequent component, we drop like a slinky down the steps of frequency. This means pure desire exists in a higher vibrational environment or state, followed by intentions, and then thought, emotion, action, and finally behavior. Often without consciously realizing it, we fine-tune our desire until it becomes specific. Once the specificity is determined, we use our intention by harnessing our energy into lower frequency thought about how to do it. Once the thoughts are bathed in an emotion through identification, which is an even lower frequential realm than thought, they now are actionable and are brought forth into the physical perceivable realms, which consist of the lowest possible frequencies. Okay, that doesn't sound like it's a good thing, but I don't know. Maybe Daddy RJ has some good news for us. The physical body has now been sufficiently electrically charged into action in order to satiate the desire. Metaphysically speaking, this is how we operate when human. Not that alien guy. Oh, they're being really loud again. Do you want me to fucking say something? No, it's okay. You don't have to say anything. I just kind of want to get into a fight.
It's a nightmare today.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm going to do when I leave? Which room are they in?
They're fucking all over the place.
Oh, okay. I'm going to walk really slow and I'm going to just make eye contact with them. And I'm not going to say anything. Are they drilling?
They're in the conference room. They're in an office like down the hallway. They're in the hallway.
Well, they're
it's a fucking nightmare.
They're in for an awakening.
50 people here.
50? The same company?
I don't know what is going on, but they're loud as hell and it's driving me nuts.
Well, we're
going
to get some answers for you, Michael. And I won't make your time here worse by making it uncomfortable by yelling at them.
I appreciate that.
But I might. You are the most powerful when operating at the higher frequencies of desire and intention. Okay, that's great because I'll have desires all damn day and I'd rather just stay there and not have to do anything about the desires. So this is actually excellent news. Once you have dropped frequency into the lower realms of thought, emotion, action, and behavior, the purity, efficacy, and power of your energy has diminished. It, your original desire, has also become highly susceptible to the influence of your egoic identity and all low frequency stimuli. You know what that makes me think of? When I have a goal, like a new goal in mind, and then of course I'll just fucking blab my mouth about it to anybody who will listen, including on a podcast mic. And then I'll get that hit, that like hit of energy of having already done the thing. Cause everybody's like, oh my God, that's such a great idea. Yay, Christina, you make great ideas. And then I'll bask in the thank you of it. And then I won't do anything about it. Cause I'm like, oh, I already did it. I already got the thing I wanted out of it. It's just people's applause. So I gotta stop. I gotta shut the fuck up. Oh man. When I was told that I was permanently paralyzed from the chest down, who's horny? I had one specific desire: to walk again. I knew this accomplishment, this healing, was contained within me. I would simply bring this knowingness and healing into my experiential reality. Bringing about my desired result required a total union of my specific desire, unwavering will, and complete detachment. So you got to say, my desire is to walk, but I'm completely detached from the outcome, which is hard to comprehend, but motherfucker can walk. So it works. I knew this would take every ounce of my life force. In other words, I had to perpetually maintain a clear, specific, and unwavering single-pointed focus without tension. Ooh, that's tough. However long and whatever physical, emotional, and mental toll this accomplishment would exact was of absolutely no consequence. This is the mindset of victory. And I said this in the Patreon pages that I just released today, but there was a point where he wouldn't allow his then girlfriend into his hospital room because she was going through like a medical thing that was really making her miserable. And so he was like, you're not allowed to come in. And if I was the girlfriend, I would have been so pissed. Oh, I would have been so pissed. I would have been butthurt. I would have broke up with him, but then I would have like walked by his hospital room to like let him know I was there and totally fuck with his energy. And then after like a year later, after we broke up, because he'd probably dump me after that, I realized he was right. Once we know what we want to achieve, we must carry ourselves to this goal. Achievement, reality, and the total self become one. There can be no doubt, which means no egoic mind and all its limiting chatter getting in the way of our desired result. We must fix our intent unequivocally and unbroken on this desired result while simultaneously not reaching for it, Christina. Once we do, the achievement that is already contained within can become tangibly known. It's no different than the powerful tree that already exists within the tiny seed. Ooh, I love that. That specific internal state of being just needs to be brought into tangible manifestation. To do this, we must harness the total self, which is sentience and the complement of energy, aka your body. powerfully. This is not a mere mental understanding or emotional connection. What I'm talking about exists prior to that and is a vibration deep within the self. Once we marry and meld our will to the fulfilled achievement that already exists within us, its manifestation into our physical reality is inevitable. Cute. So like so many books I've read have talked about how like the future's already happened and every possible outcome, like say you're like, should I move in with my boyfriend? Every possible outcome of that, which is just you move in with him or you don't, and then it could go either way with either of those two decisions. Apparently it already exists, which is very hard for us to comprehend. But also when you're a person, you're kind of dumbed down a little bit to be a person. And that's everybody. Even the smartest motherfuckers on the planet are still dumb compared to people who have passed away and they don't have a human body. That's how I have come to understand it. Our unwavering fixed permanent intention is our will, and it is the power of creation itself. And then I just want to say, okay, one more section, and then we're going to go and say bye and then go yell at the people in the office for yelling. Intention and the subsequent slinky drop down in frequency to the realms of thought, emotion, action, and behavior truly shape and co-create our inner and outer worlds. Everything happens because of our intention, period. The life you created is a result of your intentions. Personal responsibility. It's what's for dinner. There is nothing that manifests in our outer world that did not have its genesis of desire and intention from within. Once you harness that self properly, including the higher frequencies of your desire and intention, you become a master creator instead of a master of limitations. Your doubt, which is low frequency, is what throws water on the fire of your intention, which is high frequency. Doubt is death and is a product of your false created self. When you look at doubt and its source, it is always the finite mind. Ooh, our mind sucks. Doubt is simply the low frequency misuse of your imagination. Ooh, I love that definition. We should teach that to children. When we work at the desire intention level, we bring the higher realms of consciousness into the lower realms of reality. This is operating above the lower frequencies of thought, emotion, and physicality. Instead, we are creating at the higher frequencies of pure desire and intention. Remember that the order of creation is desire, intention, thought, emotion, action, and then behavior. Okay, so your behavior is the lowest one. These vibrations are also descendant in terms of frequency, with desire being the highest and behavior being the lowest. When we work with pure desire and a fixed intention, we utilize a higher, more powerful, and more effective vibrational force with which the lower frequencies are directly and potentially influenced. Okay, so this is a lot, a big piece of advice that I hear a lot is like, it, spiritually speaking, like Don Miguel Ruiz talks about this of the Four Agreements and Michael Singer. Just worry about what you want. Well, don't worry about it, but just have your desire and then the rest will kind of take care of itself. Like you will eventually be taking action, but if you have to go, which action should I take to get my theater company off the ground or whatever it is, you're thinking too hard. You're not going to arrive at anything good. When we work with our pure desire and fixed intentions, we utilize higher, more powerful, and more effective vibrational force, which the lower frequencies are directly and potentially influenced. Once you clear your awareness of all imaginary limitations from step one, which are your past ruminations and future projections, because being really hooked on a future outcome, not great. Thumbs down. Then you can objectively and specifically see your desired end result. If you are no longer bound by imaginary ruminations or expectations, you are now ready to create powerfully. This allows your new understanding and an openness to intuitively know what you need to work with upon in order to achieve your desired result. What is needed from moment to moment in order for your achievement to manifest into experiential reality is the single-pointedness of true clarity and your limitless power that authentic freedom engenders. Okay? And that's all I'm going to read. 44 minutes. Wow, Christina, what a fucking hero. And then the rest of this chapter includes addressing doubt. And then step two, shortcuts to separate yourself from your doubts. That's good because I love a shortcut and I love an exercise. And then he gives a client example, which I read in the last Patreon reading. It was really good. This chick was a graphic designer, very addicted to drugs, very depressed. And her sister was like, hey, my sister's going to die. Can you help her? And he was like, yeah, sure. And bitch is cured. Okay. She's cured. So guys, thank you so much for being here and letting me be the voice in your head. And congrats on not killing yourself. I'm going to go yell at those people. Probably won't, but I'm going to maybe yell at those people for Michael so that his business will thrive better. Thank you. Bye.